Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Okay. Life in the West Coast is cooling down a bit, and it's nice to finally have a respite from the hot weather. I'm looking forward to talking about migraines this week. You ready for a discussion?
I don't know. Mike, I have a headache. Can we do it another day?
Well, let's see.
Not tonight, Mike. Not tonight.
Exactly. Let's see if we can't take care of your headache. This is a treatment article. It talks about migraines. You know, it's the old 32-year-old or so who presents to your office with migraines, wants some treatment, but doesn't like the side effects of triptan. What else can we offer? Just by way of background, migraine, a very common disorder. We see it all the time. A one-year prevalence rate across the United States of about 13%. That's almost three times as many women as men, sort of 6% men, 12% or so women. Our approach to treatment is twofold. One, there's the preventive approach, which we will not talk about today, and then there's the abortive symptomatic therapy for migraines. Lots of different options, from simple analgesics like NSAIDs or acetaminophen to triptans, or the increasingly less commonly used dihydro ergotamine. Abortive treatments are usually effective the earlier in the symptom course that they're given. General recommendations include specific agents in patients with more severe migraines and combination analgesics as the pain or frequency increases, selecting a non-oral route of administration for patients who present early with GI symptoms like nausea and vomiting, and then self-administered some sort of rescue medication for those of our patients with severe migraines that have a history of responding to those rescue medications. There are the triptans, which we won't talk about today. There are the ergots, the dihydroergotamine, which I'd mentioned before. And lastly, there are the antiemetics. Now, the poem that Mark has found for us this week is published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, and it attempts to answer the clinical question, does proclarperazine produce better pain relief than sumatriptan in patients with acute migraine? So a patient comes in, do either of these treatments have a superior outcome? Mark, what did the authors find?
Yeah, this was a relatively small study, but it was well designed. They had 68 consecutive adults. All of them were between 18 and 50 years of age. And they all came in with what they described as their typical migraine headache. All of them had a history of previous migraine, so they knew what that was. And they all met the modified International Headache Society criteria for migraine headache. They randomized the patients with concealed allocation, which is all good, to get either IV compazine, prochlorperazine, 10 milligrams, plus a little Benadryl, 12.5 milligrams, to prevent akathisia. And the other group got subcutaneous sumatriptan, 6 milligrams. Now, to make sure that they could maintain the blinding and masking, both the ones who got the IV drug also got a sub-Q placebo, and those who got the sub-Q sumatriptan got an IV placebo, so try to maintain that. They asked them to rate their pain on a 100-millimeter visual analog scale, both before treatment and then after 80 minutes. Why 80 minutes? Why not 90 or 60? I don't know, but they said 80 minutes. If the patient felt great and wanted to get out of the ER sooner, they measured their pain just before they left, so that might have been less than 80 minutes. Decision-making experts will tell you that in order to have a difference on a scale like that be clinically meaningful and really noticeable by the patient, it has to be at least a 13-millimeter difference. And in this study, both of the treatments were effective. but the mean improvement in pain relief was better with the Compazine, actually, than with the Imitrex. They had a 73-millimeter change versus a 50-millimeter change. So 23 extra millimeters of pain relief on that 100-point scale. They didn't tell us what proportion had sort of a clinically important decrease in migraine, something like the percentage with total or near total pain relief. But, you know, the pain scale is a pretty good substitute for that. Relief of nausea was similar in both groups, and both had similar levels of sedation. So Compazine was better, actually, than Imitrex in these folks with acute migraine. I mean, the downside is you got to put an IV in. But if someone comes in with severe headache to the ER, they're probably getting an IV anyway. And there was another study, actually, Annals of Emergency Medicine, that did this very similar study in kids, and it compared Compazine with Ketorolac, Toradol, and found that the Compazine was better and was safe in that group as well. And they used 0.15 milligrams per kilogram with a 10-milligram maximum dose.
Right. Just as an aside, Ketorolac is one of those drugs that is constantly looking for a disease. I mean, the literature is filled with studies showing that it's no more effective than, you know, substitute whatever the pain reliever you want to use is. It's just that, you know, its effectiveness is perhaps augmented a bit by the fact that it's parenteral and you have to have an injection, and people think that it must be strong if it's an injection. But getting back to this.
Yeah, give me a shot, Doc. I need a shot.
Exactly, exactly.
And you know, shots are better placebos than non-shots. And I think there's also a perception that maybe you can fool a patient who's perceived to have drug-seeking behavior into thinking you're giving them something really, really good if you give them the Toradol IV. But, I mean, those aren't really great reasons to use it, are they?
I think it's a corollary, by the way, of these over-the-counter medicines that we use for colds and viral syndromes and things that, you know, again, they strive in their little laboratories, their chemists in their white coats run around trying to make the ickiest tasting thing, because if it was good tasting, people would think it didn't work. It's got to be really horrible tasting in order to be strong. That's the world according to Mike.
Absolutely.
Mark, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for this advice, and I'm glad Compazine is as good as sumatriptan.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.